Thanks.
Yep.
I'm going to go rogue off the bat, and you challenged me to maybe fluster you, and hopefully I won't. You brought up a point that I should have known, but I hadn't really heard or known before, that 2020 for wind and solar was, we hit records for synchronization. Mm-hmm. I know we also had a lot of delays in projects due mm-hmm. to COVID or maybe not COVID. Do you think maybe we had a happy accident and missed some challenges we would have seen with synchronization? Or do you think otherwise we might have been further along and learning some of these market things around storage and solar?
Yeah, so specifically, we've seen a lot of delays, a lot of changing of scheduling, I would say, yeah. on the solar front, especially. Not so much on the wind front, but definitely there have been some of those. What I think is really interesting, and this is another part of the challenges that we see, is they can build a solar facility very quickly. So I actually, we've got a solar facility right on the other, not on the other side of that wall there. We got a solar facility about 8 miles that way from my house. And I've gone out there several times to watch it get developed. It's scheduled to be completed by June of this year. And they just started construction in September. I was out there the other day and I was watching people out there putting panels on the support structures. But the key thing here is they can build these things in about 5 or 6 months. And so they don't really put their full, you know, the full decision point of building these things doesn't come until they actually start taking deliveries of the equipment. So I think that's part of what we're seeing is it's not so much that we're seeing a lot of delays because of COVID, because of other reasons. I think what we're just seeing is these new technologies give developers a lot more flexibility about, you know, exactly when they're going to start the construction process. A combined cycle plant would take 2-3 years to build. And the solar plants, they have a lot more optionality. And so I think we're seeing that in the interconnection queue. I think we're seeing some plants get delayed. We're seeing other plants get accelerated. So it's just part of the, you know, how do we manage this from a grid perspective the flexibility of development is driving.
Okay. And I have a good follow-up to that that I'll open to you or to Carolyn. I'm wondering what challenges are, and I think some might have to do with that quicker time frame. And planning for storage and for solar than we used to have. I know the interconnection process for a resource used to be a long process. It could be 18 months. And I think a solar storage developer, as you said, could come to you and say, we want to get this project online in 5 months. So I'm wondering what the challenges either one of you are seeing around that or other challenges to regulatory certainty, things like that.
Well, let me briefly start, and then I'll turn it over to Carolyn for her thoughts. You know, the timeline, the actual, unfortunately, the studies, the reliability studies that we have to do to make sure the grid maintains reliability still take 16, 18 months, but they can build the thing in 6 months. So there's a bit of friction there, but a lot more of the friction comes from the fact that they can build these things in 6 to 8 months, but if they're building it in a location where there's not enough transmission to get all that power to consumers, it can take 5 years to build a transmission improvement. And that's where we're seeing a lot of the friction right now, especially if some of those limitations are driven by what we would consider to be stability constraints. So stability constraints are, they take a lot more complex modeling. They're very dependent on the actual specific type of technology that's getting built, the type of inverters that are getting built at these facilities. And oftentimes we can't really develop, analyze these things until the plant is actually being constructed and we know exactly what's going to be put out there. So that is really driving some of the challenges that we see today.
Caitlin, do you want me to weigh in here?
Yes, please.
Coming from the perspective of a large municipal electric and gas utility, I think that there are definitely some issues that we deal with that are different from the ones that, not inconsistent with, but different from the ones that Warren has described. For example, we did a solar plus storage project with Southwest Research Institute here in San Antonio a few years ago, and it was on our distribution network. And when we got to the point of wanting to get all the final commercial steps taken so we could connect and go forward, we realized that there wasn't a formal process in place at ERCOT in the protocols to allow this project to be registered as a DGR because it was on a distribution interconnection. ERCOT worked great with us. We got it worked out. We were the project owner, so that helped a little bit because we could manage it. We weren't disappointing anyone that it was coming on more slowly. But we are seeing distribution interconnections requested in our service area, and we find that there are little nits that just don't quite work that we're having to work out, both in terms of our planning process and in terms of ERCOT. And I think this is one of the fun challenges that we're going to see, but it's certainly something that if you're a developer, you have to plan for, because if you're doing it on the distribution network, it may not work exactly the same way, or the protocols just may not have contemplated it.